My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, off and rolling on a Tuesday. September 17th, lots to get to. I am already wrapped up my fantasy league win before. Philly fans know what I'm talking about. That, you know, with that, oh my gosh, that must have been sickening to watch. We will talk about what was a surprise for me. Maybe it wasn't such a surprise for my partner. I'm not sure. I didn't check in last night to see where he was on it beforehand. It was a surprise to me. Atlanta Falcons come out with the win on Monday Night Football, a dramatic end to the NFL week. We've seen a lot of those, it feels like. So we will certainly talk about what it means for both teams. I've seen a lot of takes already on both sides. A lot more, though, on that Philadelphia Eagles side as they come up short. I will say this. I'm not sure how much we will address it. We will see. But it feels like Sean Combs is in trouble. Like it's for real at this point. Now a criminal defendant, according to TMZ, in a sex trafficking, racketeering, and kidnapping case. He has been indicted and now arrested. That came down. It looked like they pushed things up. There was a plan to arrest him later on, apparently.
Yep.
That's never good either. So real serious. And I tell you what, I mean, well, you know, we remember with R. Kelly, like there were, you know, a lot you know, jokes and memes and everything else. And in all of that were some real serious crimes committed. And so I'm sure it will be much, you know, a lot similar. There will be memes, and there already have been, but there are some real serious charges up in here. And so it's gotten real serious real quick for Mr. Combs. And yeah, we will at some point again, I'm sure, discuss that. But we'll be sticking to sports for the most part. Looks like the AAC.
Yeah.
The AAC heard John. They said, we got to do better.
They did.
We'll see if they're doing better. By who, at least the latest reports, they're considering adding. And, of course, there's all kind of news on realignment, depending upon who's, you know, who you listen to, who's your favorite reporter. Feels like everybody's talking to everybody right now. We'll see what's next for Memphis. John, how are you?
Good, man. Yeah, not only are they thinking about adding somebody, they're thinking about some secondary, you know, financial packages that they could, you know, come up with. So
we do whatever we can.
Yeah, I mean, make it a decision, make it close, then we can, you know, talk about it. But, you know, I also need to know, am I losing someone in this league, right? And if the answer to that is no, then, you know, it could change the dynamic 100% if we get all the things that Pernetti is promising, who was in Memphis, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah, he's here. Meeting with Ed Scott today.
Yeah, so what do you think they're talking about?
Please. That's Please,
right.
Ed.
That's right. So
we're going to treat you like a king.
We'll talk about that here momentarily. Big show today. Jessica Benson is back after a little hiatus, a little sabbatical.
Well, she deserves it.
She was overseas, I think.
They are such world travelers.
Argentina, maybe?
I think that's at least one of them, I think. Okay. One of her stops.
So. Is that like a stop you make, like along going somewhere else? Maybe. I don't know. I've never been.
I don't know about the whole trip. Look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, so she'll join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her about that. Jaron was talking today. He says he just can't wait. He can't wait for everybody to see the concepts of the plan that the Grizzlies have.
Concepts.
Yeah, the concepts. The concept. He didn't say that, but he basically said that. Yeah. So we'll talk to her about this Grizzly season. What, preseason is in 3 weeks?
Ready to roll.
I mean, so
now remember though, it's still football season around here.
I know it kind of does. It kind of does feel a little soon. I mean, I'll be honest. Like it just, you don't feel like you get that much of an off season.
A lot of years, y'all are programmed. Turn the page.
Right.
Basketball might be a little different this year.
Yeah, like I mean, if, you know, and I wonder if it's because, you know, finals goes till June, Olympics goes till September, right? I mean, the last week of, you know, so. No, it wasn't. It was like the second week of August, something like that. Mm. But it just feels like we haven't had much of a break from basketball.
Oh, you're making a different point. I mean, it feels like you haven't had a break. I feel like I've had a break. I feel like a time Grizzlies haven't played in years. What it feels like to me.
Okay, well, I respect that.
Okay,
maybe it's just because I just watched so much summer league and
you did. I mean, you watched every internet. You watched every Olympic.
I watched every FIBA
game.
So
you feel like you didn't get a break.
I didn't get it. I need another week.
Do you really, though?
2, 3, 4. Kind of, bro, to be honest. Because like, November NBA basketball is like so, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to get up for it in a way. We'll be excited because Ja's returning and all that. But,
yeah.
You know, I think at this point with the Grizzlies, I'm ready to fast forward to April and May.
Come on, man.
And let's see what we got.
Come on, no, man. We got to get these test flight. They get this test flight in.
Yeah, they do. That's true. They got to get it all on the court together.
Yeah, it feels like you've never had it. It feels essentially like.
Exactly. So we'll get into all that with Jessica Benson at 11:25. Then Jeff Calkins has written about conference realignment. They tried to do at the Daily Memphian what we did. Right? They said this is why you go to the Pac-12, and this is why you don't go to the Pac-12.
And he took your side, or you took his side. One, y'all are aligned as usual.
I
must say.
You and Buckley working together?
Didn't know I'd be working with Buckley.
You are.
It's my first time working with Tim Buckley.
I was told.
How do you do, Tim?
I was told that they, Tim and Jeff did have to be separated.
Jeff said, Tim's column was running.
Uh-huh.
He said, there's no way I'm letting that stand by itself.
He said he will not run unopposed.
So they tried to have as much heat on it as we did. We'll see if they matched it.
Yeah, well, what's great about it is that people think Jeff is still a sports columnist, right?
Well, he occasionally dabbles.
He retired from that.
Again, people throw those sports columns he writes still in my face and say, see, he's not done.
He's not done. People were like, can't wait for your column on Florida State. I'm like, yo.
We weren't getting that.
Yeah,
we will get big sports.
Yes.
Decisions.
Penny.
Ramifications.
Penny.
Penny.
You know, like anything big with Memphis basketball, he's going to swoop in on and box me out. He's established that precedent. There's no doubt about it. And also here. So he'll join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about, you know, listen, there may be some news, right? There may be some news by the time we get to 1:25 on this because John Canzano had a report that I can't read. On his Substack, so who knows what the day may hold. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. But big night last night on Monday Night Football.
Mm.
Few things we need to touch on. It's Tuesday. Let's do a thing we call cap or no cap. Nick Sirianni is to blame for last night. Cap or no cap?
You know what? I want to give you the opportunity to go first.
Okay. Well, that's I appreciate it. I appreciate that quite a bit. And I'm going to say, ultimately, that is no cap. Now, I noticed.
That is no cap for those that are a little bit slow, meaning.
He is
to blame.
Yes. Now, the statement is not he is the only one to blame, but does he ultimately get the blame? Yes.
That's what we're asking.
I'm saying yes. I saw the way kind of ESPN was framing it, or maybe it wasn't even ESPN. It was just sort of everybody else. The media was in front of Saquon, and, you know, of course, he was talking about how I got to be better and I got to make that catch. And ultimately, that is true. He is paid $13 million to execute. You're a professional football player, And that is the job. And he did not do that last night. Wide open, would have gotten the first down, would have ended the game with Atlanta having no timeouts.
Yes.
However, there were three decisions last night that I want to highlight, in particular, that were made by the coaching staff, that were made by Nick Sirianni, that ultimately cost this team the game. We're going to go back to the first quarter because all of these things compound. Every decision that you make compounds. Kicking the field goal on that 4th and 3 in the first quarter was the right decision. He instead, in a 0-0 game, elected to go for it on 4th and 3 out of a timeout. So he lined up, couldn't get the playoff, had to take a timeout, still didn't think better of it, went for the first down on 4th and 3, didn't get it. 3 points in that game last night would have made all the difference, right?
Because
you're kicking to go up 9 as opposed to kick up to go up 6. If you kick a field goal, Jake Elliott's going to nail that. That's the first decision. The second decision is electing, with Atlanta having no timeouts on 3rd and 3, not to run the ball. Now, did the play call work? Did you get the look you wanted? No question about it. But when you elect to throw the ball in that scenario with Atlanta having no timeouts, only bad things can really happen. You could throw a pick. You could throw an incompletion. The quarterback could get sacked. He could get strip sacked. Like, the number of things that can go wrong for you, it feels like, in a pass play, are much, the list is longer.
Yeah.
And we saw it, right? We saw it. Saquon got open, dropped the ball. Now you have to make a decision on 4th and 3. I would have had no problem, Jason, with that play on a 4th and 3. Let's say they run the ball, they get stuffed. They then let 40 seconds come off the clock because Atlanta can't stop it. And then they want to run that play and convert the first down, try to catch Atlanta off guard because they're going to sell out for the run.
Yeah.
I get that. Love it. Can't really criticize that. Instead, you throw the ball, you save the time, and the third decision, Jason, I'm going to highlight, is the decision to then kick it. That was the wrong decision as well, because what you essentially do is you give the ball back to the Falcons with a shorter field. Granted, they have to go score a touchdown, but if you don't convert that fourth, they're going to play for three. Right, they're going to start at the 10-yard line, and they're not going to be selling out to try to score a touchdown, right? It's going to be, let's just get in a field goal range, send this game to overtime.
Yeah.
So I think what Nick Sirianni did is he played every single possible 50-50 spot. I think he played it wrong. Now, the defense is abysmal. I mean, that pass rush was non-existent. Saquon dropped the ball that he's supposed to catch. But I would also say, Sirianni, you should know he is the most butterfingers running back in the NFL since 2021. Nobody has dropped more passes at that position. You have to know these things. You have to know who the ball should go to and who it shouldn't. No A.J. Brown last night. Again, that probably should have factored in. Let's lean on this run game that they can't stop. Make them stop it. So, ultimately, I think Sirianni should get the majority of the blame on this one.
I'd just say you're right. I mean, I'm not going to – could you make a case for the other side and that this is just on Barkley? Absolutely you could. I mean, he, as you said to start this thing, he's paid $13 million, and he had just done it. Now, he came up short. What, his knee was short of the goal.
Yes.
His knee had him short, but he had just kind of caught that same pass.
Right.
A little bit earlier. And I realized, you know, again, Sirianni, you cannot argue from an analytics standpoint that this was the right decision. Apparently, from ESPN analytics, it gave the Eagles over a 96% chance to win the game if they had run the ball on third down for no gain. Regardless of whether they then went for it on fourth or kicked the field goal, the point was, the analytics say, that's 96% chance. Now, what I will say is that some managers, and you see this more in baseball a lot, but
right.
You know, you go off feel. You go off what you just saw. The fact that Saquon had just kind of caught a ball like that.
Right.
You're trying to play the edge because you feel like, as Sirianni said, they're junking it up. I'm just not going to spin it for him. I think ultimately, because the buck stops with the head guy,
yep.
It's on you. I think you make a great point that with Saquon, you got to consider the fact that he's one of those guys that can drop that pass. Even if you've just seen it with your eyes,
yep.
Him catch one of those
yep.
In a similar situation, you've got to consider it, all the things that can happen. Here's my other thing. I mean, you're supposed to be known, and I realize, exactly. You know, if you want to push it twice, no, maybe not. But you're known for physical front. You're known for running the ball.
Exactly.
And so getting fancy, I just think analytically, everything you laid out there with those other decisions, it was that this ultimately is on Sirianni. And I would have a hard time.
Yeah.
Coming here arguing the other side when I've told you I have my doubts about Sirianni
for
anyway,
sure.
And it was one of the reasons coming into the season I wasn't ready to crown Philly in the NFC East. Now, what we see is some dysfunction with both them and the Cowboys.
Yep.
But I can't come up here and tell you, oh, I'm with Sirianni after I've told you. I got my doubts about him as it is. So I think you're absolutely right. It's on him.
Yeah, I mean, that decision not to kick the field goal in the first quarter, right? That ended up being huge.
Yes.
I mean, there's no need to be that aggressive in the first quarter of the game when it's 0-0. Mm-hmm. Take points, you know, right. At home. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I think if you're an Eagles fan, you are absolutely livid today with Sirianni. Again, not only Sirianni.
Right, I'm saying you could still be upset with Saquon. We're not
absolutely.
Even talking about this today.
Absolutely.
That game is done. In hindsight, makes this a lot easier. But,
yeah.
No, you're right.
And they missed A.J. Brown last night. I mean, there's just no way around
it. Last play, you know, when he throws that, you know, what do they call him, Slim Reaper?
Yeah.
He's just not the physical presence. He slides through coverages as opposed to, you know, Godzilla coming through that thing like A.J. Brown can.
I mean, A.J. might catch that touchdown, right?
100%, bro.
He's not getting that ball knocked out of his hands.
They missed him last night, big time.
All right, moving on. Memphis will cover the number against Navy, which I believe is, let's just call it 9, cap or no cap.
That's no cap. Memphis gonna cover. I know this is certainly a game you could look at, and I think Navy down around 90 in the SP Plus rankings. Memphis now, I think there was a little bit of a drop. We didn't discuss that overall. You're still the highest ranked group, the highest rated Group of Five team in the SP Plus rankings, but I think you did drop out of the 20s into 30s. That said, yes, Memphis gonna cover this. I think, listen, we could talk about Navy's triple option. We do it every time we talk about them, but you are better than them, particularly now that we know this is an improved defense. And frankly, it's an opportunity to see something different and to have this defense that's been tested all kinds of different ways, to have them see something different. Now, there's a big, there's a key here with this defense, and I think for this entire team moving forward, and that is the health of Elijah Herring. I would like to believe that's minor. But you never know with injuries around here. And
That's right. He's
been key so far in those first couple of games. He's absolutely flying around, especially in week two against Troy. And so I think to stay here, and you'd really like to have him. I'd feel a lot better about it if I knew that Elijah Herring is going to be out there. But one thing I know, at least from right now, unless something else pops up, and you never know with the Tigers with injuries, but Chandler Martin's an absolute stud. We didn't talk about it. He got Defensive Player of the Week, along with Seth Hennigan getting Offensive Player of the Week in the conference. And I still feel real good about being disciplined defensively, bringing the pressure. You're talking about 12 tackles for loss against Florida State, and now all of a sudden you can't handle essentially a triple option. Yeah, they're running some other things.
Right.
No, you're going to handle this because you're a better ball club, and hopefully it's not just going to be your defense that looks good again. Your offense is going to look a little better.
Yep.
Because I tell you, there's some things there that can obviously be fine-tuned. You have not run the ball well in 2 of 3 games this year. Get that going. We said it yesterday. Get that going against Navy and Middle so that by the time you get to South Florida, you're a more balanced outfit than what you've shown so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just 9.
Ball control,
feels,
right? That's what concerns you? Navy's going to control the ball,
exactly.
And so that's a lot of points, and you would hesitate a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, double.
That's the
yeah.
sense I'm getting off
yeah,
of.
Yeah, just, I mean, not that I don't think Memphis will win. It's just like, you're talking about double digits here, and if Navy has a little bit of success, if they – play it all with a lead, how they can take the air out of the damn thing.
Does Florida State have better players?
The Navy, absolutely not.
No?
I mean,
Does Florida State have better offensive players than Navy?
Yes.
So exactly. What you're telling me then, I mean, is that scheme, Navy's scheme could keep it close. Florida State's players are markedly better.
Right.
And so there's a chance you go out there, and the scheme ain't going to matter a dang bit.
Right.
Because you're that much better from a personnel standpoint now. There's a chance this ain't old Memphis Navy.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
Oh,
obviously, the history of this series, gives us cause for pause.
Yep.
Navy always plays you well. Hell, sometimes they, as you've said, they've ruined good seasons. It doesn't have to apply this time, is my point.
Yeah.
I think you're just better than them, and certainly 9 points better.
Yes. It's just kind of a bad break, right?
Is that what it is, though? Is that what the actual?
I think it opened 10.5,
okay.
And now it's 9.
Right.
So people want that 10. I mean, it could very well land 10, right? Mm-hmm. I think, look, if Memphis wins the game, I don't love the fact that Navy had a whole week to prepare. They were off last week, and Memphis is going down there and,
you know,
battling FSU.
You know one thing I know about Jordan Hankins, at least so far? He is not going to sit back and wait to see what you do to him. He's going to attack you.
That's right.
They are, in terms of tackles for loss, they're among the best in the nation, sixth right now. They're attacking. They're coming off a game where they had 12 against Florida State, and I know that's a down Florida State team. You're still doing it against an ACC squad. We saw it. They attacked all day. You know, four sacks to go in those 12 tackles for loss. So what I feel good about is this, that you're not just going to sit back and see if you can be disciplined against Navy. No, you're going to attack. And that's, I mean, frankly, they've been almost more explosive than the offense has, and just the way that defense has attacked, you love to see it. Hopefully, again, it continues. That's why I feel good that you're not just going to let Navy, right, without resistance here.
No doubt.
Without pushback, just do what it wants to do to you.
Yeah.
That Jordan Hankins has shown he's not that kind of defensive coordinator. He's going to wait to see what you do.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's not like Navy's exactly trying to hide it. So, I mean, you know what they're going to come in here and do. So, or you're, what they're going to do up there. We'll get to the because there is some news. Pernetti's here. The AAC commissioner is here in town, and they have some plans, and they have some, you know, some teams on their wish list to try to be proactive with everything going on in realignment. I guess proactive is all relative at this stage in the whole damn thing, but as proactive as you could possibly be as of today. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Jessica Benson going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about Grizzlies, the revival of the Pac-12. She's a child of the Pac-12. She knows that conference, or at least the old one, you know, front to back. We'll see how she feels about the revival. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to fam ESPN.
It's the last call. Offers almost over. All FanDuel customers can still bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with YouTube TV and its base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel any time. Again, you've got through September 22nd, so about 5 days to take advantage. Still last call. Just bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sportsbook. It's only on FanDuel, official partner of 929FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9700.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
79.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. Catch her during the regular season on the Grizz Radio Network coming up real soon. And there's no more foremost expert on the Pac-12 and the rebirth than Jessica Benson. She joins us now. So you leave the country, you're gallivanting all around, and the Pac-12, the hand comes out of the grave.
It was like the biggest gift I could have asked for coming back from that trip. It happened the morning after we returned to the United States of America. And if you had told me back when I moved to Memphis in 2016, when I was searching for any bar that had Pac-12 After Dark on in the wee hours of Saturday morning, that one day Memphis would be in consideration to join the Conference of Champions, I would have called you crazy. But here we are.
I mean, it's obviously just so, it's like a bastardized version. I mean, even if Memphis joins it, it's just like, it feels kind of stupid to call it the Pac-12. Like, it's like, I don't even think Memphis would like want it to be called the Pac-12, but they clearly, the value of the brand and the recognition and things like that, as a fan of a team that used to run the Pac-12, do you wish they would just change the name and let the Pac-12 be, for lack of a better word, dead?
Well, it's so funny because as they make the announcement last week of the addition of Boise State and Colorado State and San Diego State and Fresno State, my first thought was, why don't we just call it the WAC? You know, I was the child of the Western Athletic Conference once upon a time. I'm not sure Washington State and Oregon State want to be a part of the WAC. So I do think there is an identity crisis occurring at the moment. But I don't know. The Pac-12 is iconic. It's a brand. It can't be killed no matter how much everybody continues to try. So even though it feels like a falsified version of the Pac-12 that we know and love, you just wait. The Pac-12 After Dark, it'll get right back to what we've always known it as, chaotic, wonderfully late-played football all over the country. Sign me up for Memphis to join that fun.
We know we'll have Bill Walton like watching over us, right? The speed.
I think so. There is a guardian angel of the Pac-12, and his name is Bill Walton.
So there's nothing, I guess the way that there is, what do you need to know most? What questions do you have, or are you're already there? It's a no-brainer. If the invite is there, you go. Or is there information you would still like to know beforehand?
Well, of course, the financial aspect of it and what that number crunching looks like. And is the Pac-12 in similar nature to what we've heard they're planning to do with these Mountain West teams? Would they be able to foot the bill of a buyout so that Memphis isn't forced to pay a $10 million exit fee to the American? But I likened it on my show this morning to wanting to be at the coolest table you can be at in the cafeteria. Like right now, Memphis is at a table with, frankly, some rejects. And you want to elevate your status, your popularity. You want to be able to be cool by association. And I do think that the Pac-12 in its iteration right now with a Boise State, with Washington State, with Oregon State, just gives you better cool points than what the AAC has to offer right now with a Charlotte or a Rice or even UTSA. If Memphis and Tulane can together team up hand in hand and head over to the Pac-12, in my opinion, it is a no-brainer of which conference has more status in that scenario. And sure, you can look at it as a movement for movement's sake, and I know the travel component to it makes things not look as desirable to some people. But eventually, when this big split happens in the college football world, you just want to be able to be at the top of the people who have been left behind thus far. And I think the Pac-12 situates you better than the American at this point in time. And sure, the American's going to keep working. I know the report came out yesterday that they're interested in Air Force. Where does UNLV fall in all of this? There are a lot of pieces that continue to move around. But for me, it just means if you're Memphis, you just want to situate yourself as good as possible. And that's what the Pac-12 looks like to be.
Is there anything, obviously, Tim Pernetti is in Memphis today. Don't worry, this was previously scheduled.
I loved that extra note.
Okay, I don't want anybody.
Nothing to do with what's going on.
It's like nobody has a wandering eye with their one foot out the door, and he's not here to try to put the fire out. Don't worry. But is there anything like any kind of assurances that he might be able to make to Memphis? Because there was a statement yesterday where he mentioned, naming rights and other sort of creative ways. Just like the Pac-12 is probably promising. Increased tournament units, presumptive things that we don't necessarily have the answers to. Like, is there anything that he could say to Memphis today that might force you to say, this might actually be better for us?
Your assurance is simply, if you're arguing on behalf of the AAC, that you are the premier program. We are forming this conference around you. This is a conference that you can dominate. This is a conference that you can determine the identity of based on your success. If you are the group of, and I know we can't call it the group of five representative anymore, but the non-power group representative in the college football playoff, like, we want you to be the face of the conference. That's all you can sell to Memphis. And then along with, whatever you can offer in terms of making an argument that the financial situation is better for you to stay where you're at versus seeking slightly greener pastures in the Pac-12, whatever that could look like. But you're going to have Memphis with their consulting firm and with everyone who's doing the work on their side figuring out what those advantages could be. I don't think the commissioner of the AAC can make a plea that would dissuade if the consulting firms come back and say, listen, it's a no-brainer, you need to go to the Pac-12. I don't think there's anything the AAC commissioner can say that changes your mind in that case.
We haven't gotten a chance to talk to you since the big win for Ryan Silverfield, obviously, and Memphis over Florida State.
Yes.
In terms of and I want you to be as honest as possible here with us, was that more about, okay, this is the Memphis team we said can, maybe run the table, be the college, the group of five representing the college football playoff? Was it more about that and this Memphis team is indeed good to elite, or was it more about, the result itself? Man, that is a down Florida State team. Can Mike Norvell get it back?
I think it's for Memphis, it's about getting the win that you needed to get in order to stay in the conversation for the college football playoff. And even if it is a down year for Florida State, it's still a signature win at the end of the year. You still went into Doak Campbell. You play in a hostile environment. You get a win over an ACC team. And that's the only win of that kind that you can get. So yeah. I never want to take away from what Ryan Silverfield and the Tigers were able to accomplish in getting that win. But then the national conversation is, oh no, Florida State is 0-3 to start the season. And you do hate it for Mike Norvell, someone who so many people in this city continue to root for and champion, except when he's playing the University of Memphis. But Florida State, they're in dire straits. DJ Uiagalelei cannot throw the ball down the field. That offensive line is worse than expected. They can't run the ball. The only thing they have going for them is their defense isn't losing them games right now, which feels like such an odd place for a Mike Norvell coach team to be, but they are not in a good spot. You want them to win some games, though, if you're Memphis, because if you can make that win look any sweeter by the end of the season, that's beneficial to you.
Does it surprise you in some ways that, in the betting markets, Boise State is still favored over Memphis to make the playoff? Because that is the case. I mean, it's not like it's a huge gap or anything. I mean, we're talking about, 100 cents. It's not like it's like some big difference, but it's Boise State and Liberty, actually. They're both ahead of you. Does that surprise you?
The Liberty does, based on the weakness of their schedule. With Boise State, if they had gone out and gotten smoked by Oregon, I think it would be different. But Oregon still, even if Oregon is not as great, and they did get their stuff together against Oregon State over the weekend, they struggled not just against Boise State, but against Idaho in week one. So if it was taking them a little longer, still, Oregon is perceived as one of the top 10 programs in the country right now. I can see how Boise playing them close would allow them at this point in the season to have a small edge on Memphis. And then also, I don't have their schedule in front of me. Does Boise play UNLV
this
year?
They do. At UNLV.
So that'll be huge too, because UNLV,
but that will eliminate one of them.
Exactly. So that's a great thing if you're Memphis. But then it also comes back to the case of, does a win for either Boise State or UNLV in that situation bode better for them than what Memphis has the chance to do with any AAC opponent?
Well, they'll still have to win their conference title, though, right? Like,
sure.
You know, even, like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not just one game for them. Like, all this, you know what I'm saying?
It's the highest ranked champion. That's what,
yep.
You know, the word champion gets kind of dropped now and then. But that's where, technically, Florida State could go out and win the ACC and be the champion of the ACC, which is absolutely wild and probably 99.9% isn't going to happen. But yeah, that's where you're looking at those other schools. You want Northern Illinois to drop one of their games in the MAC to not be the MAC champion, so that their win against Notre Dame doesn't come up and sneak up and, you know, make a case against you later on too.
Has Ryan Soderfield done enough for you, Jess, at this point, that if you were Florida, when you're clearly ready to move on from Billy Napier, that he's on your list, or does he need to carry this out, right? Do what the expectations say and at least win the AAC, which you're favored to do, and we see what happens with the Group of Five. Would you want to see that first if you were a Florida fan, or would you already have him on your list?
Considering what Florida has gone through with Billy Napier, I would want to wait and see. I would want to see the proof of concept play out. And that's not a knock to Coach Silverfield. I mean, coming off of a 10-win season, you get the big bowl win last year. That can be attributed to proof of concept, but I think it would help elevate that profile even more if he were able to go out, win the AAC this year, and then get that spot in the college football playoff. That would just continue bolstering a resume that might give you a little bit more peace of mind if you're one of these schools like a Florida, looking like you're going to be seeking a new head coach, either in the middle of the season, maybe next week, maybe the week after, but at the bare minimum by the end of it.
We're talking to Jessica Benson from Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network here during the season. Are you registered to vote? Is that what we're doing today? Are we raising awareness?
I am. I saw that Jaren Jackson Jr. was sitting right next to Cam Spencer, making sure he was registered to vote. So the Grizzlies have been putting on an effort to make sure, especially, you know, high school kids who are turning 18 and legally able to vote in this upcoming election are registered and ready to go, and other people within Memphis. But it is, I believe, National Voter Registration Day.
Got it. Who are you voting for?
I don't know. Who are you voting for?
No, I think it's really the guest's responsibility to talk about it.
You bring me back. I will say it was nice being out of the country to remove oneself from all of the discourse for a minute, for sure.
There's no way you removed yourself from the discourse. You can't get away from it. I mean, there's no way.
You're right. You want to know what the worst thing was? The worst thing was, we were in Brazil, and Twitter was banned in Brazil, right?
Wow.
But it still worked on our phones, and we still got on it. And I thought to myself, if I get taken at the border,
wow,
because I got on Twitter in Brazil, that would be the end of the world.
Yeah, they were threatening like $8,000 fines, right?
I know, and not using, but we weren't using a VPN. We weren't doing anything. It just came up on our phone. We're just so accustomed to going on that app to watch sports or to consume sports or consume news. But anyway, they made it back, and hopefully the president of Brazil isn't listening to this radio hit.
Is Bryce Young sorry?
Oh, I feel so bad for him.
How do you feel bad?
Because he was put in a bad situation. Because he's small, and because he has to play for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
He's had two coaches in less than two seasons.
That part is,
season and a minute.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where, when we always look at quarterbacks coming out, and even watching Caleb Williams on Sunday behind that offensive line and behind, you know, his play caller and the coaching situation in Chicago, you think, oh, God, if only he was playing for Kyle Shanahan right now. Like, what could he be so early in his career? And with Bryce Young now, we may never know, because once the confidence gets shot so much, you don't even know if a change of scenery can help someone like Bryce Young. But, I mean, bottom line is, he's been abysmal, and the team has been too. And I think I saw that their line against the Raiders on this coming week, you know, it went down. They were 7.5-point dogs, now they're 5.5-point dogs with Andy Dalton. So there is a genuine belief that they could be better with a different quarterback.
Yeah, I bet +6.5. I'm a believer in the Red Rocket. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's the importance of having a good backup, though, right?
Yeah, that's right. A veteran like that, no question about it. Hey, thanks for everything you do with the voting and
yes, absolutely
and awareness. And we look forward to more voting content from you leading up to the election. Thanks as always.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Yep, she is Jessica Benson. From Grind City Media and the Grizz Radio Network. No, that's very cool of Jaron to get involved with that initiative, right? I mean, let's use our God-given right in this country to vote. Yeah. You know, exercise that right to vote. Now, I could be better about it at the local level. You know, I mean, I got to be honest. When it comes to local, I'm just kind of tuned out. I'm kind of disconnected. Everybody gets up for the 4 years, right? Everybody's like, oh, it's time. It's time to be an American. But, mm-hmm. you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, what happens in these local elections and these state elections impacts you so much more. And we don't really get up. We don't get inspired to vote for those.
No. Turnout's been lousy, as a matter of fact.
Man, like, like people just aren't going, bro.
And then, I mean, you know, you got your Germantown elections.
I don't even know where I go to vote, who I'm voting for.
Part of. You go to the house next door.
Yeah, can I mail it in? There was one time where, you know, when the water crisis was going on, I was considering a run myself for mayor.
And you just try and take down the other one.
Yeah, but I've since decided not to do that. I've removed myself.
And he's still holding, Palazzolo is still holding on strong, I hear.
He runs unopposed. There's no question. Because, look, he's got Brad. I mean, if he's got Brad, he's got everything. If I can win over Brad, I might give it a run. But I got to start
there.
Is
Brad vice mayor of Germantown under Palazzolo?
I just think Brad is kind of representative, you know?
Both of y'all are representative.
That in some ways, I would. But
what are you talking about?
But I think that would be where I don't know what I'd run on. I'd run on clean water 3 years
ago. Well, he's already given you that. He's cleaned out the swamp.
Yeah, so I'd have to come up with a campaign, you know. Mike Palazzolo doesn't want you to have clean water.
Don't do that. He might actually think you're coming after him, dude.
I was then. That was a devastating week.
Yeah, you
man.
Were angry that week.
No, everything is working as intended.
I see, and y'all get all the party goers out. I see that.
Did they
y'all
sell
make
that
them,
house?
Y'all make them sell the house. Did they sell the house yet?
I think they at least put
did
it
they
on
get
the
out of there? Well, she put it on there quick, didn't he? Because y'all let her know.
Yeah. They don't play. There is no question about that. And what I hate now is, like, well, I'm in this, like, neighborhood Facebook, and it's just becoming, like, what's that next door? People post anonymously.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be useful.
Sometimes it can, but I don't like the anonymous posts where you're just trying to get off your shots at people.
I'm sorry, are you a next door, like, subscriber? Or you can just do, like, the general stuff.
It's on this is on Facebook.
So you're saying it's like next door.
Yeah.
It's not next door.
Works the same exact way, but it's like we joined the neighborhood Facebook just to, like, know what's going on.
And y'all got anonymous folks up in there posting anything.
Bro, talking about dogs barking it, you know, it's like
eating dogs and cats.
Right. Why can't y'all just put your name on it? Like, if you're going to complain about it, just say, you know.
Eat the dog.
What are y'all worried about? Cat. You know? I only use it to see if, like, when the parades are for the Halloween and July 4th. That's about it for the kids.
Can we come into the Eat the Dog, Eat the Cat remix, or is that too political when we come back?
I mean, I think, you know, that's...
Because that thing is bumping. I don't know if y'all have heard it.
Yeah, it's a bop.
Okay,
for sure.
I didn't know. Okay, just asking.
I
need to go through corporate probably first on that one.
Yeah.
But it's
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Brad's been on the phone all morning trying to figure that out. He's been trying to he's run.
No, that's a slower one. It's
this
good.
There's slow jams.
Yeah, this is a slower version. My son likes this one too. It's like a reggae version.
Okay.
But the one that swept the nation is more of there's a dance craze to it, a eat the cat type thing. Women are, never mind. My cat.
Oh, this is like an artist.
Yeah, he's turned this one into more of a reggae vibe. You know what I'm saying?
He added the lyrics. All right. Well, good stuff. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jeff Calkins at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM, ESPN. So yesterday, after we got off the air, a couple of things that we need to update you on. The reporting from Pete Thamel was that the AAC is attempting to woo Air Force. To join the league. I think they're in the Mountain West right now. They were not one of the initial Mountain West teams that was picked to go to the Pac-12.
Tim Pernetti, upon news of Air Force possibly being a target, released the following statement. The American Conference is a pioneering brand firmly grounded in grit and hard work with powerful and prestigious member institutions. In the past 5 months, we have prioritized seizing every opportunity that enhances value for our member institutions and student athletes, whether through private capital, naming rights, innovative partnerships, or realignment. We have proactively assessed each opportunity and are prepared to collaboratively take action steps to be at the forefront of success and sustainability. So, a couple of interesting things. One is Air Force. Two is private equity, which is kind of what I had not heard. I had heard Big 12 was talking about doing that. I'd not heard AAC link to doing it. Naming rights. I don't know if that's for a championship game or whatever. Yeah, But, you know, clearly they are trying to say publicly. And the other part of this is Tim Pernetti is in Memphis today, right? So it sounds like, Jason, what they are trying to do is they are trying to make a case of sweetening a pot. Sweetening the pot. The media deal, I think, is $7 million, $8 million. And what they are trying to do is they are trying to say, listen, we can get you more through X, Y, and Z to convince not just Memphis, but maybe Tulane, right? As those two have been mentioned today by John Canzano as targets of the Pac-12. I think this is the first official. Bruce Feldman had it over the weekend. Now Canzano is saying there's a midweek meeting to be held about both Memphis and Tulane by the Pac-12 specifically. Mm-hmm. So it clearly feels like this is I don't know if it's a last-ditch effort or just an effort period, just to try to say, hey, the grass ain't greener. We'll sweeten this pot for you in the AAC.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's smart of the AAC to do this, and it's business. And Memphis would be smart, Tulane would be smart to listen to the Pac-12.
Yep.
And listen to what you're going to provide us.
Yep.
Tell us what you see with a television deal.
Yep.
Tell us what this, I guess, 8-team league to start out with. We know you need two more. Tell us what each piece of the pie is going to look like. Because the AAC is sitting up here telling us what it's going to look like here. And you have to know that's what Pernetti's job is right now. To tell you, and John's talking about everything that he's pointing out with the private equity and everything else, they're trying to raise money. They're trying to make it this just a math problem for Memphis, essentially.
Exactly.
Where the value is more here. Whereas maybe it's even this, that look, maybe you get a million more, you know, whatever it is going over there. And again, that TV deal is not in place. All that would have to be determined, but what we're saying is, with the travel costs you have, with what we're going to do for you here, we're going to make it more worth your while to stay. And it's smart of the AAC to do that at this point, because again, Memphis, you're pretty much your flagship. I mean, you got them and you got Tulane right now.
Yep.
And so holding on to them, you would feel super critical, particularly if you're going to have teams competing for a Group of Five spot in the college football playoff. You give everything over to the Mountain West. It's like John said, it's almost like having an automatic spot because, again, that thing's going to be so powerful. I will say back to that, though, John, now that conference could eat itself, too.
Yep.
And what the committee has shown us is that they, at least to this point, is that they do value the undefeated in garbage. Okay? They just showed us that with Liberty last year. Now, this is new. It's a college football playoff. We've all said surely they won't do that this year. But you've picked the best and undefeated out of a lesser conference before.
Yep.
So we'll see. But my point, if you're the AAC, you're doing what you have to do right now, and you're trying to keep what you got because, frankly, it's the best that you got right now.
Yeah.
And sure, sweetening the pot is what you must do.
Exactly. I would say this. There is a world where the AAC makes this sweet enough to where it does make sense to stay, right? But they have to do that. They have to make it to where, all right, we could get you
it's all financial.
Yeah, you have to come to Memphis and say, like, honestly, here's what you have to do. You have to say no more equal sharing. In this league, right? We're gonna take some money away from somebody. I mean, because in the end, the AAC is now
some
fighting
of these schools
for
are not bringing in anything in. So exactly. I don't mind Memphis and Scott saying we got more leverage now.
100%.
We've got interest
exactly
from the Pac-12, but also more leverage in terms of our standing in this conference and what we represent for you.
Look,
so I wouldn't mind playing that kind of hardball if you're Memphis at all.
Well, you could leverage both places, too.
And going back to what you said, could that be a better existence if I'm getting a bigger share of what's already bigger than what the Mountain West get? The one thing on that I read Jeff's column about not going, you know, and a lot of it's aligned with what you said. Some of it is Boise State's going.
Mm-hmm.
We like Boise State.
Yep.
Strong program.
Yeah.
Right? NCAA tournament, but more importantly, football program is strong. We like them. They're going, they must know something on this money thing. Boise State's making less than you now in the Mountain West, right? This deal represents more for them because they're making less for you.
Yeah.
And they'd be going to an 18 conference,
mm-hmm.
right? Six right now, going to be eight, which is fewer teams than what they're...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.